Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host today. And with me is one of my favorite guests, Laura Sumner Kuhn, the Executive Director of the Racine Literacy Council, is here to talk about some really amazing things that are going on, particularly in Racine. So, Laura, good morning and hello.
Good morning. Hello. It's always fun to be with you, Marcia.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now, the Racine Literacy Council is located in downtown Racine, not far from the library and Gateway, sort of in the middle there. And you provide a whole variety of services and programming. You want to talk a minute or two just about what Racine Literacy Council does?
Sure. Well, you know, we're actually celebrating our 60th year this year.
Right.
We turned 60 years old, and we had a big celebration in March, but we're 60 years old this whole year, so it's a whole year of celebration. And we stand on an incredible foundation of people who had the vision and drive to make this a viable nonprofit organization that pretty much offers all kinds of programming to people, and we tend to attract people in the very low and moderate income households so that they have more opportunity in our community, and thus we become a stronger community by doing that. And we do this work mostly by relying heavily not only on philanthropy for support, but also an incredible group of volunteer tutors who come from all walks of life who are here to teach their neighbors to make us a better community and to offer a better life for them. And that's an incredible history to stand on. So I'm just very privileged to be in this situation here as Executive Director of Racine Literacy Council. And I'm very humbled by what my predecessors have done.
I couldn't agree with you more. The rich history of the Racine Literacy Council would just amaze people if they. And I was at the 60th birthday party. What a phenomenal event! But also, what an event that showcased all those years of service to our community. You know, what started as kind of a little tiny program. And then grew and grew and grew and grew to what it is today. And I know we're going to talk about a couple of things that I would never have envisioned that it could become back in, you know, a million years ago when I was helping the Racine Literacy Council with things that they were doing. So, yeah. So can we talk about what's going on with you, Racine Literacy Council, and the city of Racine?
Sure. So one of the new programs that we have, it started actually about a year ago. The city has been very a big proponent of being a smart city and connecting the whole community with internet access and the digital skills that people need to be on the internet. And so Adele Edwards, who is the person in charge of that kind of programming for the city, contacted us about a year ago, and she said, you know, I'm writing this grant for digital navigators, in other words, digital instructors who would help teach people around the community how to use a computer. And would you like them to be at the Racine Literacy Council? And I said, absolutely. So in the fall, we started classes, and we've continued them in the spring, 3 days a week for people to learn basic computer skills, but also then to learn how to use certain software better, like Google and Google Workspace, Word, Microsoft Word, and PowerPoint, and Excel, and to help people through that. And it's been a really wonderful collaboration. That setup is coming to a close actually in the next couple of weeks. And this summer, we're going into a new program with the city, which got new funding to provide people who meet certain income qualifications with a new computer. And those people also, aside from having certain income, meeting the certain income guidelines, mm-hmm. also cannot have a working computer in their household now. So we are currently registering people for the prospect of getting a computer. There's skin in the game. They have to pay $10 for the computer. Mm-hmm. And they don't get the computer until they've shown or demonstrated to the digital navigators or the digital instructors that the city has that they have met kind of rudimentary requirements for being able to work on a computer, you know, turning it on and off, sending an email, understanding a little bit about cybersecurity in this world of the internet, which is so difficult, being able to surf the web safely, and then to be able to create a document and use it. There are certain parameters that the city has set forth through this grant.
Makes sense.
That people have to meet. And once they do, then they receive their computer.
Now, are these laptops?
Pardon me?
Are these laptops?
They're laptops.
Okay, so easy to store, easy to have at home.
Yes, and they can continue to take classes to learn some of those more in-depth skills like using Microsoft Word or PowerPoint or Excel or being able to refine some of their other skills with software, particular software, or just their usage, as long as they want during the time of the grant, which is a two-year grant. So we are taking applications right now to see if people qualify, and then starting June 2nd, we will be having classes on Monday evenings and then on Tuesday mornings for those beginning learners. To sit down with the instructors and go through the skills assessment that they need to do that and then help learn what they don't know and how to use the computer. Wow. And then once they meet those guidelines, they get their computer and they can continue learning here. So it's a fabulous program. Adele, I would say, has been so forward-thinking as the city has about how to embrace community partners in making this digital divide that we have in Racine disappear, mm-hmm. and we're really, really happy to be part of that program.
So how does someone find out whether they qualify?
They come in. So okay. If they come to the Literacy Council at 734 Lake Avenue in downtown Racine, we have them complete an application, and we'll walk through that with them and let them know if they're qualified or not. Then we schedule them for a skills assessment with the digital navigators to see how much they actually know about using a computer. There's another amount of paperwork that's necessary for them to complete in that regard. Mm-hmm. And then once they're cleared through that, the classes will begin in the beginning of June. We have an upper floor and a lower floor, and we'll mm-hmm. have classes on both floors Monday evening and on both floors Tuesday morning. The response has been so big. Besides doing that, we are looking to partner with the city off-site, so not at the Racine Literacy Council, to deliver the same program. And so we're talking to particular groups, some of the community centers, some veterans organization, a couple of others. We will be working at HALO, so families who are sheltering at HALO could also be part of this program. So we're really excited about it, and it's been keeping us kind of busy already, so that's the thing.
I bet. That's absolutely amazing.
Well, you think about all the things that requires us to use a computer with some kind of knowledge, right? I mean, there's a limitation to how much you can do on your telephone. There are forms that are extremely difficult to fill out on your phone, and many people in low and moderate income households don't have an option other than their phone, and therefore they can't properly complete some of those forms. They need to be able to, to do so many of the things we take for granted.
Right.
You can't take advantage of some free programs unless you fill out forms on a computer online or send in an application online, or you can't check on your children's homework or check in with their teachers at school unless you know the kind of software programs that they're using. You can't plan a vacation.
Right.
Buy tickets for somewhere unless you are able to go online.
Talk to my doctor online.
Absolutely.
I book my medical appointments online.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier, so much more convenient. And, I think about folks who are older, frankly my age and older, who maybe weren't exposed to computers, didn't do it in their jobs before they retired, but their kids all have them and their grandkids have them. This is a great opportunity for older folks who don't have a computer at home to A, get one, and B, learn those basics. Because that's
absolutely
all you need. That's all you need to connect with your children or your grandchildren.
Absolutely. And as long as they meet the guidelines for participating in the program, they're able to do that. And we can talk with them otherwise if they don't and they want to take classes, even though they may not receive a computer if they don't qualify. There are still ways we'll take care of the learning end of it with them.
Nice.
If that's something that they wish to pursue. So we're really excited about this new program and so thankful to Adele for reaching out to us to include us in it. And that's just one of the things that we have going on at the Literacy Council. We're gearing up for a summer session. So typically we have a fall session, and then we have a spring session, and now we have a summer session. And so we're registering people for summer sessions. And during the summer, we teach English. We have a GED prep program, an adult basic education program, where we work with a variety of people who are trying to beef up their academic skills, and it spreads the gamut of a huge range. From we have some retirees who have never been able to really focus on their own learning.
Yeah, didn't have time. They were
supporting families. Maybe their first family of origin, and then as they age, their own families, and now that they're retired, they would like to be able to use a computer and read what is on a computer. Okay, so we talked about digital skills, but if you cannot read, you can't even get there.
Right.
Those
right.
digital skills. And I'm amazed. I would say in the last 2 weeks, we've had three people who have recently retired who have very, very low reading ability because it couldn't have been a priority in their lives at the time, and they wish to learn to read. And so that would be the starting point for many of our students. But then we have students that all along the way have varying degrees of knowledge that they've acquired in their adult lifetimes. Some are parents who, for whatever reason, never completed high school. Some might have left in middle school. Some might have left in high school. Many have children of their own and wish they could help them better, and now they realize how important having that high school education is, and so they're seeking to get a GED high school equivalency diploma, which, of course, takes a long time. I mean, they've missed 4 years of high school. And so there's a battery of tests that they have to pass in order to get a GED. They need to pass a math test and a reading test, a social studies test, a science test, and a civics test. And we help prepare them for all of that. And then we lead them right up to the testing point. And they usually take one test at a time. There's not a time frame by which they have to complete these tests. It's an open-ended time frame. So let's say you have, and we do, have students who come in and say, and we test them with a standardized test, and we'll say, oh my goodness, look at you. You are a really wonderful reader. You might need a little work on these aspects of reading and comprehension and language arts and writing. We're going to find out where those holes are, and we will help you bridge them and learn that information, and then you'll be ready for the reading test. And then we work with Gateway Technical College to test our students, and voila, that's one test down, and then they can work on something else. And we have a number of people right now who are working on both social studies and civics to be able to take those two tests together, because they kind of replicate each other in some respects. The civics test is a state requirement of people who have a high school credential, and the social studies test is part of the regular GED battery of tests people have to pass. So we're preparing people right now for that, and I should also mention that we've had really, we rely on outside support for all of our programs, and the S.C. Johnson Fund has been really generous to us to support our adult learning program this year.
So that's
really
wonderful
to them about that. So we have a number of people who we are getting also from the Workforce Development Center who have been looking for jobs and realized, oh, you know, I thought I could be an electrician, but I guess I need this. So we have some people who have high school credentials, who graduated from high school, but really don't have maybe enough math skills, or they don't remember them from their high school years, to be able to pass what is called an Accuplacer test at Gateway Technical College, where passing that test would allow them to enter into a trade, such as an electrician or a plumber or a welder. So we have a couple of people now who are looking to beef up those math skills so that they can go to Gateway and take that Accuplacer test. And if they pass it, then that will allow them to register into a post-secondary schooling at Gateway for a trade. The other thing that we have that's new right now, it's the first time I've encountered it here, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened in the past, is that we have a couple young people who want to enter the military. And in order to enter the military and have the best opportunity for jobs in the military, the higher the test score, the more opportunity you have, because there is a military entrance test called the ASVAB test, and I can't remember what the acronym stands for off the top of my head. But we have a wonderful tutor, Wally, who has been working with these two young men who really wish to enter the military and go into service. But they want the best option that they have, and you only have a chance to take this test, I think, twice. So he's been working with them for several months just to beef up their skills, and there are practice tests that they can take to see how they might score on the overall test. And he's been wonderful. He's a little like a drill sergeant himself. So good, they're getting a little flavor of what life might be like. But, you know, here we have an example of a guy who's a wonderful tutor. He has lived a wonderful life and devoted his time. He was a trainer of, I believe, engineers in a corporation, and has a lot of those skills that you might need. And he is He's willing to devote his time so that these young men have better opportunity. It's a great match.
That is amazing. How did those two young men think to reach out to you? Do you know?
I don't know. One just kind of came in.
Okay.
I think he had already went out, you know, you can procure some of these things on your own, and I think he had a passing the ASVAB test for dummies.
Okay.
As I mean, you know, you have computers for dummies and all that kind of stuff. The big yellow orange, yellow
right,
book,
the big yellow book.
Right on a bookshelf in a bookstore. And I think he picked up one of those and then realized, no, somebody better explain this to me. I don't know enough about it. And so, you know, he started there, and then we went out and we purchased the materials that could help us lead him to taking practice tests to know how he would fare in that regard. And at the very same time, we had existing students who were learning in other programs.
Sure.
We had a son who was looking to do the same thing, and so they asked us what we could do, and it just happened to be at the same time.
Wow. Wow. That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
We're going to take a really quick break here because we need to let people know that they're listening to Community Matters here on WGTD 91.1. We're glad that you're with us. With us today is Laura Sumner Kuhn, and we're talking about some amazing programs that are going on at the Racine Literacy Council. It's located in downtown Racine, kind of right between the library and Gateway Tech. On Lake Avenue. And we were just talking about preparing young people to go into the military. That is a niche I have never heard of. And I hear of literacy programs all around the state of Wisconsin. That's amazing. Are you also able to help students who, you know, maybe they're in their late teen, like 18, 19, 20, 21, they realize, ooh, shoot, they were missing a couple of credits from high school. Can you help those people as well earn those credits with, like, Racine Unified?
Yeah, well, not with Unified. We can work with them if they're 18 and a half.
Okay.
And then they would go after a GED. And it's easy enough for us to do that. I would say, though, also, we are working with Waterford High School right now.
Oh.
Has an alternative high school program where they have a couple of seniors who they could identify last year already were not likely to be able to succeed in graduating with their classmates in the traditional way. And so those students are able to stay in the high school past their senior year, working on a GED-2, I believe they call it, with the school. And the school is the one that confers the high school credential. But they asked us if we would be willing to help those students because they have limited ability to extend their regular programming. And so we have a wonderful volunteer, Chris, who lives in Burlington. She helps run our adult basic education program as a volunteer here in Racine.
Oh,
she travels
okay.
twice a week to come here to work with some of our students. And she is a retired special ed teacher, so she has a tremendous toolbox of skills.
Oh,
she's invaluable, as are many of our tutors. We have a lot of retired teachers working with us who are incredible people.
Mm-hmm.
But she has volunteered to work with these high school students at the high school a couple days a week for a couple of hours so that they might be able to graduate in somewhat a short period of time, not maybe not with their classmates, but not too long after following them. And she's been doing a fantastic job. And so as that program, which is new this year, begins to grow, we would like to add more people on the West End who could help with that kind of volunteer tutoring to be able to assist them in getting their high school diploma.
And I think there's some, I'm not going to say value, because there's always value in education, but there's something to be said for getting that credential from your high school.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, a GED or an HSED from the state of Wisconsin. I'm sure students are motivated just by that.
Well, and you're not so far removed from having taken these subjects, right?
Right.
Perhaps you are not a person who fit in the classroom well or could mm-hmm. go at the speed of your classmates, or for what other reason there might be that would keep you from earning a diploma in the traditional fashion, but here you would have an opportunity to still work with some teachers and get that, while many of these students have jobs. Mm-hmm. So they go to school part-time and they work jobs the other part-time, and you still have the comfort of going to your high school. So I think it's a fabulous program. And when they asked us if we would be interested in being involved, I said, absolutely, because I'd rather they graduate through you than become our full-time students.
Right. Yeah.
20 years from now, when they realize, oh, I haven't been able to get anywhere because I don't have a high school credential. So we'd rather keep them in school and help them if we can. Mm-hmm. We're starting another partnership that is really quite exciting to me. And that is that HALO, which is the homeless shelter in Racine, has a pretty large population of families who are seeking shelter. And as they are sheltering there, they are trying to improve their circumstances. And education is always the top need among people who are unemployed or underemployed, and certainly without shelter. So we have started conversations with HALO, and this summer we will be running a family literacy program at HALO with families who are sheltering there. And in that program, our family literacy program is really spreading. So we started a family literacy program 2 years ago. We're just completing our second year of family literacy. The traditional model of family literacy is in three sites here. It is at the Racine Literacy Council on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. It is in Burlington at Waller Elementary School, and it is at Waterford Community Church in Waterford. And what we do for our family literacy in those three spots is we bring parents and children together. We run a whole family activity that's usually literacy-based, mm-hmm. but it's fun and helps strengthen the relationships between parents and children and among families who live in the same community. We do that for about the first half hour or so, and then we break apart the parents from the students, from the parents from their children, and the children learn and do fun literacy activities. We also help them with homework with some of our staff and some interns and some trained volunteer tutors. But then the parents learn about child development and parenting Ooh. Skills. And then they also can turn their attention to their own learning. And that is very individualized. It could be that a parent needs to learn English. Mm-hmm. It could be that a parent wants to earn their GED. Could be a parent needs help creating a resume and doing a job search. We have had parents who want to learn how to better work with their neurodivergent children. Ooh, and so we've done some coaching in that regard, because we have a board member who's an expert in that field, who lends her time to helping to coach parents on that. We have helped parents with computer skills. Now, parents who qualify for the city's computer program, we will enroll them in that if that's what they choose to do, and can also get their own computer. And so we look at the needs of the parents for their own learning, and we put together a program that serves both the parents and the children. So we will be doing this at Halo, and one of the things I know that they've wanted to do is also learn how to garden and be more self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be renting 2 spots from the Racine Urban Garden Network, and this year they will be devoted to the families that we work with at Halo.
And oh, how fun.
They will get a little coaching about how to grow a garden. We will supply the plants and seeds, and they can go to it.
Where is the urban garden located?
There are a number of sites. Ours are at the Karan Butler Gardens, which are not too far away from the John Bryant Center.
Right.
On Karan Butler Drive. So we really enjoyed doing that. And so that's been a wonderful thing for us. So the Halo caseworkers have expressed an interest in doing that with their families. And so we are just now working with caseworkers to see what it is that, how it is that we could serve the needs of the population there. If parents at the Halo wish to continue in family literacy once they have their own place of residence, they can we'll roll them into our other programs here. So it's a wonderful partnership I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
We're also doing some things in schools that are a little different. We will have a summer family literacy program here from 5 to 7:30 on Wednesday evenings starting in June. And we look forward to having people in that program. People can register now. And we will run it in June and then another session in July. And if they want to take both sessions, they're welcome to do that.
Okay.
All of our programming is free, by the way.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
And
now, will those sessions include both English language learning and adult basic?
Yes, it's whatever the parent needs to learn. We provide all of our programs according to what the parent needs to learn. Will cobble them together that way, whether it's job searching and exploration, whether it's financial literacy, whether it's English language.
So even like computer literacy, if
computer
that's
literacy
you mean,
will
financial,
be part of it. Mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. We're trying to capture everyone in the family who needs learning and attend to their learning needs, right? At the same time, so that everyone can be fulfilled. And then we also model how to help their children.
Sure.
You know, it's a pretty daunting task to help your kid read a book or do their homework if you don't have the skills yourself or you don't have the language yourself.
Exactly.
And so we help model ways that they can do that and enhance their children's learning at home.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, and that's such an amazing example for their children to show just how important education is, no matter how old you are.
Right, right.
Sure.
And we, when we say family literacy, we work with extended families, too. We've had some instances where grandparents have joined their families. We've had instances in which brothers and sisters, adult brothers and sisters, or the aunts and uncles of the children also
mm-hmm.
are part of the family that's learning. So we want to serve as many people as we possibly can. And so we're really grateful to that. One of the things we're looking at doing is we have a second model of family literacy that we've developed this year. We are working in partnership with the Lumen Renaissance Schools, Renaissance Taylor and Renaissance Lumen Schools, one on Taylor Avenue and one on Villa Street, where we have 50 students that we work with their teachers, to enhance their literacy during the day, during the school day, 2 days a week for 2 hours a day. And we work with K-4 through fourth grade students in 20-minute increments,
mm-hmm.
Working to enhance their literacy skills that their teachers have pointed out to us, what they need to work on for those times that we're with them in school. And then we're coming to our first Family Literacy Fun Day, which will be this Wednesday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my goodness.
For all the families who have students participating in that pull-out program. So we see this as a second model of family literacy that we could develop with schools, where we provide some in-classroom help to students who can't get that kind of help at home, mm-hmm. and then work with their parents and the whole family learning together in a literacy fun day. And part of that will be aimed at parent individual learning as well. In that case, we'll probably steer mostly to modeling how they can help their children at home and talking about child development and how to nurture their children's development more than we mm-hmm. would their individual learning needs, but then steer them to some of our programs here that they can take on their own. Cool. So we'll see how that does. This is a pilot for us, and we look to expand that for next year in the future and to other schools. We hope to do a family literacy program at Mitchell School after school next year, where a large proportion of the population is Hispanic. And so we think that English learning could be enhanced there as well as other things. And so we're excited about that prospect as well. And some of those families will be joining us this summer in advance of our program there.
Oh, what fun. What fun. I will be anxious to hear how all of this comes together and how summer works out and all of the stories of the families that are there. You know, you've referenced your volunteer tutors a number of times, and you've said some are retired educators, but can anybody be a tutor who might want to be?
Yeah, so here's what we do, and good thing you've asked, Marcia, because we have a tutor training coming up on May 22nd.
Wonderful.
So at 6 p.m. on Thursday, May 22nd, somebody who wishes to become a tutor can come to the Racine Literacy Council at 734 Lake Avenue and learn to what the opportunities are and whether they like to be engaged in it. And really what we're looking for is somebody who has graduated from high school, can speak English and read and write, and who knows some things, right? But we don't need you to be a retired teacher. Many of us have what it takes to be able to sit down with a neighbor and help them to read and write, help them to learn the language,
mm-hmm.
Help them to teach their children. So we have tutor needs in all of those programs, our adult basic education program, our English language learning program, our family literacy program. We welcome people to work with us in those capacities. And so we do a background check, and we do train them, and we talk with them about what they think that they would want to do and be able to do, and we introduce them to our curriculum materials. And then it's pretty much a personal adventure with another person.
No kidding.
And they learn a lot.
If I wanted to work with people who wanted to learn English, do I need to speak Spanish or do I need to speak another language?
No, we encourage you only to speak English.
Yep.
But, you know, for people who are really in the beginning stages of learning, to be honest, there are tools that we'll use to be able to do the basic communication with them to begin with,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have a pretty large population of Ukrainian English learners, and none of us speak Ukrainian.
Right.
But, you know, there's great translators on phones that our students know how to use very well to mm-hmm. be able to do that basic communication back and forth. But then the actual learning is all in English anyhow. So
okay.
you don't need to know the language. You just have to be willing to learn and have a heart for meeting people who are not like you and who come from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
You learn a lot and appreciate a lot as a tutor.
Wow. And so you said there's training. How
mm-hmm.
how long is the training? And
well, we usually have you come in for an orientation and training that takes about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Then we would have you come back and observe a tutor in action, and then we'd match you with your own student, or if you're teaching adult basic education, you would teach in a team, and they would help guide you.
Ah, so I get to kind of shadow somebody who's got more experience than I do.
Right, and if it comes to helping people prepare for a GED, you don't have to be a wizard in all things that it would take to get a high school diploma. We have a team of people with different expertises, and we would put you where you are most comfortable.
Perfect. Now, if I can't make it on May 22nd, how do I let you know I'm interested in being a tutor?
We have an online application that people can fill out, and then we follow up with a phone call and let you know of a way that we get you into the next training or maybe even meet one-on-one.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So I wouldn't have to wait long if I'm interested in doing this.
And most likely people who are going to come now as tutors will be using it in our summer session.
Oh, good. Okay, so I've got a little time, but I'm not going to be hanging around doing nothing for a while either.
Yeah.
So that sounds absolutely amazing. Well, Laura, there is so much going on there. I'm surprised your head is not spinning and that you've actually had time to talk to us today because, boy, the Racine Literacy Council is doing a ton of stuff. And
We're really happy to be engaged in the community as we are.
And you are. And I know there are lots of people listening today who'd really like to be a part of what you do. Can you give your email and or phone number that people could contact you?
Well, first of all, they could find us on the web at racineliteracy.org.
Okay.
So that's a good place to start. Our phone number is 262-632-9495.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the best way to find us. Or just drop in at 734 Lake Avenue. We're mostly here Mondays through Thursdays from 9 a.m. to about 7 p.m.
Okay. All right. Well, good to know. So you can, if I'm working, I can still stop in and do it.
Absolutely.
All right. This has been amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so glad that you were able to be with us for this program today.
Thank you so much, Marcia.
You bet. And thanks to all of you who've joined us. We'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show, in wake of the unexpected news from Major League Baseball that the disgraced Pete Rose will be eligible for the Hall of Fame, I want to replay my interview with Keith O'Brien, author of a fascinating book about Pete Rose titled Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose and the Last Glory Days of Baseball. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Society's Assets in Racine offers a support group for those with any degree of vision loss. It's held the first Thursday of every month at 5200 Washington Avenue. For more, call Tammy at 262-925-6097.
WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine.